Well, it's certainly good to be back with y'all again. And I'd like to remind you of something I said last August when I was here. And that is, your beliefs will not help you. A lot of people get tripped up with belief. And I have more than one friend that got chronically ill and believed that they were never going to die. And that's just one example, but we hold many beliefs. And your beliefs will not save you. What will save you is what you know. Amen. Because what you know, nobody can change or take away from you. Our beliefs change all the time. I don't know how many times my belief has changed over the years. Back probably 30 years ago or so, I would have called what I am saying now as heretical. So anything that's living changes. Doesn't matter. So if you're a living spiritual being, there will be changes take place. Nothing that you do, nothing that you can do, but you will change. I often share the example that I can go back in the church that I was raised in, and nothing has changed. We'd sing the same songs, the same order of service, read some of the same things that we read. Never changes. So that's one way you can tell if you're really progressing at all spiritually, is if there's no change, there's no spiritual life. But again, it's not something that we can do to change ourselves. One of the most misunderstood things I believe that Jesus said, we understand one part of it, and that is he said, I of mine own self can do nothing. Now, I believe none of us have a problem. Well, some people do, but most of us know that within ourselves we can't do anything. And we have for so many years focused on that aspect of what Jesus said, I can't do anything. And that's true. But the other side of that is, look what he did. And what he did is he operated out of a consciousness that was not separate. Some of us have tried to believe for years that, in fact, we've even said, we can do anything that Jesus can do. And I still say that myself sometimes. I can do anything that Jesus did, but I must hear the Father say, do it. And if I don't hear, I don't do. We have lived all of our lives in a consciousness, as Mike said last night, that's separate from God. And we know that there's, again, we know that we can't do anything. But on the other hand, our consciousness, our revelation has to be opened to where we begin to realize the truth of our being. We begin by appreciating our true being and nature. And something else that, you know, that we've heard for years is that you must love others as you love yourself. And I used to question, how can I love myself? Because when I looked at my condition, there was nothing that I could really appreciate, but yet all the time there was that struggle and that trying to be what I knew a Christian should be. Until one day I realized that everything I was trying to be and do, I already was. And when you begin to really appreciate the beingness, the true being that you are, you begin to experience that overwhelming loveliness of the Spirit coming forth in you, you then can begin to love everyone. I don't know that it's possible to love everybody without that spirit of love being developed in you. And when that begins to happen, then our consciousness begins to expand to where we can take in the whole world and look at the world through the eyes of spirit. Another thing, one of the first things I said here last year is that when you have the true revelation of humanity, what we call humanity, it is not hard to begin to appreciate everyone. You can be walking down the street and you can see maybe a drunk on the street, and you can hear God say, "I am that." You can see a prostitute. You can see any number of people that you'd look at through the appearance of being evil or whatever. And you will hear, if you will listen, you will hear God say, "I am that." Because we are here to manifest all that He is. Now, are you saying that a drunk manifests Christ? Probably to a degree, but none of us really manifest the essence of God until our consciousness begins to expand. Remember what Paul said to those on Mars Hill: you live, you move, and you have your being in Him. He lives and He moves and He has His being in you. We have been so imprisoned by our limited consciousness. So you will only manifest what you consciously are aware of. Now, and that's why this can be so difficult, because until our consciousness is expanded and we keep seeing ourselves as failures, as whatever, alcoholics or prostitutes or... As long as we hold that consciousness of ourselves, I don't think it's possible to change. Yet we know we can't do anything to make ourselves change. So we have to realize that we need to accept ourselves right now, no matter what we're doing, no matter what the appearance looks like. We have to realize there is a non-judgment. And to really begin to appreciate that being of essence that the Spirit is, is you first of all have to be non-judgmental towards yourself. And only the Spirit can give us that revelation, that there is absolutely nothing. It's like Mike said last night, God does not look at your failures. In fact, I heard many years ago that, "Gary, I don't look at what you're doing. The only thing I see is the seed of my life that I've placed within you. And no matter what you do, appearance-wise, I will continue to minister to you and bless you until one day your spirit begins to arise, and then you will begin to walk in the kingdom." And I believe that was the really first beginning of my journey when I realized that God towards me had no judgment whatsoever, except for a righteous judgment, as Mike said last night. A righteous judgment looks past the appearances and sees the reality of being and knows that we are all connected. There is one man on this earth, and it's a spiritual man. And we've lived in the consciousness of separation and even been taught that there are two men. There's the soulish man and there's the spiritual man. Well, in your experience, that may be true. But in reality, there's only one man on the earth, and that's Christ. And the message of Christ had been somewhat misunderstood because we haven't been able to separate the man Jesus from the Christ, which is the anointing. So, for instance, we read in the Old Testament that the rock that followed them was Christ. That wasn't Jesus, that was Christ. And that's one of the things that keeps us in a limited consciousness, is we believe that Jesus was so far superior to what we could ever be. And that's true as long as we remain in a limited consciousness. But once we begin to walk in reality, that consciousness again begins to expand. We all miss a mark in failing to express the fullness of God. But we don't miss the mark entirely. Every one of us at times manifest the true spiritual nature. And the more we can come into the understanding of non-judgment, especially towards ourselves. You know how I can tell if somebody is free of judgment? Now, sometimes your own mind will convince you you're not judgmental. But if I'm around you very long, I can tell. Because if you're non-judgmental, you will not only not judge yourself, you won't be judging anybody else. And especially, it needs to begin with us to know that. I don't know if I shared this before or not, so I'll make it quick, but the first time I began to understand that my destiny was secure was when the Lord told me that John saw you in the book of Revelation. And when I went to the book of Revelation and I read every tongue, every tribe, every nation, everything in the heavens, everything on earth, everything under the earth gave praise to God. And that's when I heard, John saw you there. That was probably about late 1969, I heard that. And when I heard that, that secured my future. I knew that no matter what I had to go through, no matter what I did, that my destiny was sealed. And, you know, that's the difference between trying to believe something and knowing something. A lot of people believe in eternal security. And we believe in a lot of things. But knowing far surpasses anything we could believe. And once you know, you don't really need to believe anything. It's like Mike said last night, and it's true for believing. Once you find the truth and the reality of God, once you discover that God is your being, you no longer have to search. Why would you search for something that you already have? I spent 13 years doing that until I woke up on July 11th, 1982, discovering that all that I had been seeking for, I already was. And from that day to this, it's been just a progression of an unfolding, an unveiling, and a revealing of who God is. Not up there, but in here. Those kind of things bring the change. It's not anything that we do. And we've all come to accept the appearances that keep us locked in a limited consciousness. How do you see yourself today? Do you see yourself as a failure? Do you see yourself as walking daily in the kingdom? Do you see yourself as weak and unable to fulfill your calling? Somehow that consciousness will change. And what you go through will help in that expansion of your consciousness. I was sharing with Kay last night, you know, some of the joys we had when we went to some of the religious churches. Carol and I, we couldn't wait to go to church. We absolutely loved it. And we would go to church twice on Sunday to hear the same message twice. We were just so in love with the church. But I was watching a video from one of those services, and Carol did too, about a week or so ago. We couldn't even watch it. And I tell you, we worked, both of us, we worked all day, and we drove long distances, both of us, to work. We'd come home from work, we'd grab something to eat real quick, we'd go to that church and work till bedtime. We did that day in and day out. We absolutely loved church. I have no regrets whatsoever. I learned a lot of stuff in church, and mostly what I learned is what not to do. But at the time, it was absolutely wonderful. And so, we didn't do anything to change that. But one day, we just, you know, I just began to hear something that sounded strange. And the more I listened, and the more I stayed in the quiet, and the more I just opened my being in meditation, we just found that we begin to change. See, if you can get past the idea that there's something you can do to change yourself, and you know it's true, you know you can't. If you can just quit. And that's fearful. That's a fearful thing to just give up and just quit trying. Because, you know, we're taught that, well, if we give up, the flesh will just go wild. If we don't try to subdue it and keep it in line, it'll just go wild. And you know what? That's probably true. But that's where you need to go. That's the only way you'll discover truth. Is when you discover the fact there's nothing you can do to escape. You can't get away. I've told God in my life, when I first thought of Him as being someone outside of me, I have to give up. It's too hard. I can't do it. But I never got away with it. At my lowest times, there would be such a presence. At the time, I thought it was, you know, coming over me. We talk about, you know, fall on me, and the presence of God really fell in our meetings. That's the language you use. But I realized one day, as I was in a Baptist church, Carol and I went to the Phoenix Baptist Church because I liked the preacher. We just visited there. And I felt such an overwhelming presence and love when I was in there. And I thought, but the place was dead. And I thought, how can I feel this in a cold, dead Baptist church? That's when I realized what I was feeling was coming from within. And it never left. I walked in a Buddhist temple one time. Just circumstances just took us there. I walked in that place, and I literally, I fell on my knees, and I began to weep. And at that time, I was so confused because I thought it must be deception. I'm in a false religious temple, and here I am weeping with what seems like the presence of God, but how could it be? I'm in a Buddhist temple. And it was things like that. Oh, I'm so thankful. It was things like that that opened my consciousness to realize how big Spirit is. There is not one person alive who is not connected to that wonderful Spirit. No one. Yet instead of encouraging people in religion, we just keep telling them how bad they are and what they can't do and what they should do, instead of simply revealing to them the truth of their being. Do you know that the people in the Old Testament times could have had the same experience that we do? Now, in religion, I was taught nobody had the Spirit before Jesus died on the cross. But let me read a scripture to you. In Isaiah 52:1, "Awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, Jerusalem, the holy city." They could have had it right then. If they realized the truth of their being and began to put on the beautiful garments of righteousness and, you know, cast out all the condemnation. And some of them did. Some of them walked in that, but very few. And then again, in the New Testament, what did Paul say? "Awake, you who are sleeping. Wake up. Wake up and arise from the dead." It's hard to realize, when I first heard this, and a lot of people talk about this, that we are sleepwalking. If we're not alive in the consciousness of a son of God, we are definitely asleep. How do we wake up? A man sleeping can't wake himself up. I'm sure that I know I do a lot, and I'm sure many of us do, have a lot of dreams. And some of the dreams you're in, when you're in that dream, is so real. Absolutely. It's just real to you. You're dreaming, you're asleep, but some of the dreams I have are so vivid and so real when I wake up, I think, wow, that was so real. Couldn't that be possibly what we're doing now? And sometimes when you're in a deep sleep and you begin to awaken, you're kind of in and out, you know. You know you're sleeping, but yet you're just coming out of the dream or the sleepy state. I believe that's where we are right now. We're beginning to wake up to the reality and the truth that God is all there is. There is nothing else. There's nothing but God. Sometimes when we first hear some of this stuff, it's so strange. Those of us who bring this message have pretty much been ostracized from all religious groups. Yet, it's the most wonderful, fulfilling, peaceful, abundant life. To never have to desire something that you don't have. That's so impossible. But when you're fulfilled and you're at peace and you're happy, you're joyful, and you're secure in knowing the truth of your being, there is no dissatisfaction. I wouldn't say that I never want anything that I don't have, but I certainly don't seek for it, and I don't care if I never get it. I mean, there's such a state of peace and happiness that nothing can take that away from you. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. And that's where we've all been. We begin to see a little bit, perhaps, and we look at a gay person, or we look at a prostitute, or we look at an alcoholic, and perhaps we're just beginning to go beyond that and see the truth of their being. And just the fact that you can see and know the truth of their being, why would you say anything negative towards them? Why would you do that? Because really what we're doing is we're talking about ourselves. No matter who you're talking to, for, or with, you're talking, there's only one in this universe. Mike did a very good explanation last night of the vine and the branches. How could a branch have any different kind of a life flow or being than the vine? And once we take the time to really meditate on these truths like that, that's such a wonderful thing. To realize that the same life, Paul said it this way, the same life that resurrected Jesus Christ from among the dead now dwells in you. And since he dwells in you, that same spirit will give life, will quicken, will raise up, will energize, will reveal all that God is within you. And once you know that he's in you by experience, not by head knowledge, but once you experience that, then you know that that is true for everyone. I'll tell you, I spent a lot of time seeking for God. And I had some good moments in doing that. I mean, I had some really good time. But I was always under this thing of not being good enough. And most of that I got from church. But once I realized that God was not holding me accountable for my wrongdoing, it's amazing to me that the scriptures are, you know, Christians claim they believe the scripture. If it's in the scripture, I believe it. Yet you show them that scripture, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not holding them accountable for their sin. They can't believe that. But if you can, you will live a life of freedom. Another scripture is that God justifies the ungodly. Well, boy, that fit me real good. So I know that I knew then, if God justifies the ungodly, what do I have to worry about? Of course I'm a mess. But I knew after just a little bit of the revelation of Christ in you, I knew that I had nothing to worry about. And so I began to live my life as I wanted to live it, not trying to change it. And not necessarily living it, you know, as I wanted to. There was still things, you know, there was things I didn't want to do, but I didn't fight it. I didn't fight my bad habits. I just began to realize that the love of God covers everything. And there's a scripture that says his eyes are too beautiful or holy to behold evil. And you really realize that evil is in the eye of the beholder. If you come into the true awareness of non-judgment, you will see no evil. Let me put it this way, you will not begin to judge good or evil when you realize they're from the same tree. So no matter how good you think you are, you're still on that tree that you're supposed to stay away from. It's not a matter of good and evil. How many today still think that God is separate and apart from who they are? And there's such a mixture in the gospel message because you're taught Jesus is in you. I don't know of a Christian church anywhere that doesn't teach you that when you're born again, you have Jesus in you, but then they try to teach you how to live like him. Yet if you have the revelation that he is in you, you will live like him. It won't be an effort. It'll be just I love how Jesus put it, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And as long as we perceive God as good and evil, rewarding good and punishing evil, we will remain in a limited consciousness. And that's a hard one. You telling me God doesn't punish evil? He doesn't. I'm not saying that you won't reap some of the stuff you sow, but it's not God doing it to you. In fact, Jeremiah 2:19 says, thine own